scoundrel. I'm sure many of you can already guess who's the scoundrel. Who's it? It's Jacob. The life of Jacob is a paradox. First of all, he's a very unprincipled opportunist. He takes advantage of his older twin brother, Esau, when he's thirsty and hungry to sell his birthright. And then he's a cheater. He cheated the final blessings of his father by pretending to be his older brother. He's a blasphemer, swearing by the name of God to tell a lie. Yet, still God used him. God used him to be the carrier of his promise to his grandfather Abraham. God promised through the offspring of Abraham, salvation will be brought to all nations. But through this promise, God will transform the life of a scoundrel through trial and difficulties. I think today's lessons on Jacob is also a valuable lesson for all of us. Maybe some of you are in crisis, in difficult situations. So today's lesson tells us that if we are in such situation, perhaps our attitude should not ask, why am I in this crisis? But rather, what is God teaching through these difficulties? Today's scripture is helpful to prepare us as we face future difficulties and challenges in life. Some of you will go to a new place, like university, like Jacob is going to a faraway place to face a new destiny. God is teaching Jacob very precious lessons, and I'm sure God is teaching and leading your life too. So let's look at the scripture. At the beginning, Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. Then he commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother." Here, Isaac instructed Jacob to go back to his grandfather's Abraham's homeland, Padan Aram. In so doing, God is protecting Jacob from two threats. First, it was the threat of persecution. Jacob was facing the murderous threat of his twin brother Esau. His twin brother Esau was so hot with hatred that he was cheated twice by Jacob. And he had made up his mind that I am going to kill him. By Isaac sending Jacob away. He's protecting Jacob from this threat of persecution. Then it is also God is, through this event, is protecting Jacob from the threat of accommodation. Isaac says, don't settle here and find a wife from among the Canaanite women. These are people who worship idols. These are women who will lead you astray. These are people that whose lifestyle, whose God, whose worship will contaminate you. So by sending Jacob away, God is protecting Jacob from the threat of persecution and the threat of accommodation. How about you? Are you currently comfortable or uncomfortable in your life? Maybe some of you are too comfortable. You are accommodating everything, including the joy and pleasure of this world. Perhaps God is telling you that enough, enough. Don't be so friendly to this world. Maybe some of you are uncomfortable in your life. Why am I facing all these challenges? How come I am face so much difficulty? In either case, God may be introducing you, it's time for some change. So go back to Jacob. Let us skip to the verse 10. In verse 10 and 11, so Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. At the beginning stage of Jacob as a fugitive, this setting matches Jacob's psychological conditions. You notice, Jacob left Beersheba, the familiar homeland of his parents, which is now replaced by a place called a certain place. He left his familiar homeland, Beersheba, and now arrived at a strange place that the Bible narrator would not even name. He just landed into an unknown, a certain place. Then Jacob is also faced with the loss of the security of the sun. It is now replaced with the danger of the night. He have left the comfort of his parents' tents, and now it is replaced by a hard, cold rock. This is the beginning of Jacob's journey. But all these are about to change. It's about to change. Why? Because Jacob encountered God during the night. In verse 12, God appeared to Jacob in a dream. Here you notice Jacob was surprised. Jacob never expected God appear to him. Yet God initiated the encounter. Jacob in his dream saw a stairway. Some version of the Bible says it's a ladder, but it's most likely a stairway similar to the Babylonian ziggurat. In those olden culture where Babylonian civilization was the dominant, Babylonians was famous in building this structure called ziggurat, which is really a stairway to heaven. It is a structure which is a connection with the bottom to earth, and the top is supposed to reach to heaven. It is a structure that touches both heaven and earth. Later on, in Jesus, in John's first chapter, made reference of this to describe the Son of Man as the mediator between God and human. So Jacob imagines there's a stairway going all the way up in heaven. And then he saw an angel of God ascending and descending along the stairway. Imagine this staircase with movements from the divine realm and the human realm going back and forth. And finally, in the vision, in the dream, he saw God standing at the top, spoke to Jacob. Verse 14 and 13 and 14 is what God says. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will be spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. You will notice this is a similar priesthood blessings that God promised made to Abraham. And by repeating this, it confirms that Jacob is the chosen seed and not Esau. Basically, God repeats the blessings, the promise given to his father, grandfather Abraham, that I will give you the land, you'll become a great nation, and I will bring you back. Later on, he says. And notice towards the end, it says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Whenever God promised Abraham, it is always towards the end a link that Abraham's blessings is not just to his personal benefit. God blessed Abraham is for the purpose so that all peoples on earth will be blessed through it. Take for example, Genesis 12:3. It says, when God called Abraham and promised him, at the end, He says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Genesis 18, Genesis 12, 3, Genesis 18, 18. God was talking, Abraham will become a great nation. At the end, it says, and all nations on the earth, will be blessed through him. This is Genesis 18, 18. Genesis 22, 18. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. So it is always linked. God bless Abraham is for the ultimate purpose that all nations will be blessed through him. And then in verse 15, God said, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Here, God made three personal promises to Jacob. He says, I am with you, I will watch over you, I will bring you back to this land. How comforting is this to this young man who's the first time who took on a journey to a foreign country. Some of you might be going to a new country. Some of you going to a new campus, new city. I am with you, God said. I will be with you. I'll watch over you. Don't worry. These are God's personal promises to Jacob. And with it is this intimate assurance to Jacob that God will personally sustain his faith. God said, I will do it. I am with you. Now, with this promise, does that mean that you are going to have it all set for the rest? You know, you will lead a very comfortable life in Canada? You will not face difficulty in your university studies? Or you will have always find a new job in a new city, a new career? No, not for the case of Jacob. As a matter of fact, Jacob's hardship is even going to be worse. He escaped the persecution of his brother Esau, but he is now facing another much more cunning scoundrel, his uncle Laban. If you, those of you are familiar with the stories, later on, Jacob is going to meet his uncle. His uncle promises with his wife, he says, okay, work for me. 7 years. After 7 years, I give you Rachel. You love her very much. My dear daughter, Rachel, I'll give it to you. So Jacob worked hard and hard, very hard to work for, thinking that he'll marry Rachel. So after 7 years hard work, you know, that's your only wage, 7 years of labor for your dear wife. And then at the wedding, what happened? Ha-ha! The wife is changed to another person. And then Leah. And then he come back to his father-in-law. Hey, I work for Rachel. How come Rachel's face changed? Leah's eyes. I don't like Leah's eye. And he says, no, according to our custom, Leah is the older sister. You know, you, our custom is you have to marry the oldest. We cannot give away the older sister ahead of the younger sister. So tell you what, work for me another 7 years. I'll give you Rachel. So I'll give you, after a short period of time, I'll give you Rachel too, but you have to owe me another 7 years. So Jacob had no choice to agree to the term. A few days later, he married Rachel, given, and then he have owed Laban another 7 years. And then after that, they settled in the place. According to the Bible, they continued to live there, and the Bible says, Laban changed his wages 10 times. Imagine you agree to an employment contract and your boss says, no, I don't like it. I'll reduce your wage. Not once, not two, twice, but 10 times. So end up, Jacob worked for Laban at a cheap hard labor for over 10 years, for a period of over 20 years. All the time, God says, I am with you. I'm watching you over you, and I will bring you back to this land. So God's presence does not mean that we have no difficulties in life. But all the while, Jacob knew that God was with him. So, going back to the present time, Jacob, from verses 16 to 20, we see Jacob's response to God's promise. Okay, let us read that. Can we read together? When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Baal, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking, and I will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you gave me, I will give you a tenth. So notice this is Jacob's response to God's promise. He says, surely. So in other words, he embraced this dream. You see, how often do you remember your dreams? Sometimes you wake up, you wake up in this dream and say, no, I'm so glad it's only a dream. It's a nightmare. Okay. But here, Jacob responded, this is God speaking to me. He embraced it. And you see, notice this, you have to appreciate the difference here. You see, Jacob's condition has not changed. He still have to run away from his brother. He still have to go to a strange place. But out of that, he says, I have decided that my father's God, my grandfather's God, will be my God. His journey, his purpose is just the same. But Jacob looked at it, it's a different perspective. First of all, he says, this place, this certain place has become the house of God. He said, this place is the place I met God, and this is called Baal. Beth in Hebrew is house. El is God. So this is house of God. And the same, and the thing, next thing is, this is Jacob's life, his destiny is still the same. He still have to go to new places, but he gained a new perspective. Because you, if you notice the vows he made to God, he says, from now on, my life is going to the life, a journey that I experience God. You see, before he started out, he's a fugitive. But now, after God appeared to him, he says, and God promised that I will be with you. Wherever you go, I watch over you. And he says, from now on, my life is a journey that how I will see how God fulfilled his purpose on me. You see the difference? The journey to Padan Aram is no longer just an escape journey. It becomes a pilgrimage to Jacob. It's a pilgrimage that for the rest of his life, he's going to experience God's promise and guidance. Do you view your life as a pilgrimage? Or do you think that your life is just endless days, weeks, and months? Do you feel that every day, every week in your life, is God is doing something in your life? It is a pilgrimage. You are going through life as a pilgrimage. University is part of the journey. Getting married is another journey. Having children is another journey. Do you see that? To many people, this is how they view life. A lot of people look at life like that. Life sucks, and then you die. But from a Christian perspective, even though life have a lot of difficulties, but life is a time that we experience God's hand in it. As Christians, we all receive God's mandate to us to proclaim the gospel, to worship him and glorify his name. And we also receive his promise, I will be with you. And God is working in the life of every child of his. I noticed the change that Jacob towards the end. He made this vow, it says, when I come back, the Lord will be my God, and this stone I have set up will be God's house. You see, the God of Abraham and Isaac is not just the God of his father anymore. Jacob says, you will be my God. You are not just my father's God. You are my God. And I think this is particularly important for many of our young people here. Some of you are here because your parents brought you here. Because this God is always your parents' God. But at what some moment in time is God wants to be your God. To Jacob, he says, I'm walking through life in this journey. And then I want you make a promise. And I'm going to see how you make the promise. And then when I return, I will say, you are my God. And this place is your house. and I will worship you. And then finally, Jacob says, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. And that coming out of the mouth of a scoundrel, Jacob, whose name means grabs, the grasper is telling God that I'm going to give you a tenth of what you give me. And this is radical change. And, well, dear friends, God is not finished with the life of Jacob yet. This is just the beginning. I'm so excited that we can continue next time, because God is not finished with the life of Jacob. At the end of this chapter, there will be more to come, and I'm sure God is not finished with your life yet. So if you take your life as a pilgrimage, if you take your life as a journey, whatever you experience today is what God has a purpose for it. And then you look around and it will be totally different. Okay? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you have a plan for all of us, a unique plan for all of us, a plan to prosper us and not to destroy us, not to harm us. So help us look at life not with the secular thinking, but rather look at life from your perspective. For many of us, we'll be facing a new challenge, going to our campus. Some of us will be moving to different place. Some of us may be facing challenges in life, but we know that you are always with us. Like you promised Jacob, you have also promised to be with us. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be faithful to your calling. In Jesus' name.